is to consider a very important subject, I think, that's important for all of us as we strive to live through this age of COVID. And I'm sure you've thought about it already. But God has sort of laid this on my heart because most of the time when He lays something on my heart, He's convicting me of something. He's telling me that this is an area I need to sensitize myself toward. This is something that I need to pay more attention to. And it is the area of humility. And I want to talk today about the power of humility. Because I believe that humility is very powerful. I've known some very humble people in the past. And I've known some people not so humble. Some people filled with pride and some people that are far from being humble. But what God is saying to us here is something that affects every single one of us as believers today. I believe this is an opportunity for us to let our light shine as well in these very difficult days, in these days of this horrible pandemic. The power of humility. I want us to talk about that. I consider myself to be a conservative, evangelical, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And I make no apologies for that. And I have become very stirred up, if you will, in the last little while. When I'm hearing government officials trying to tell me what to do, what I can do, and what I can't do. It is something that goes against my Scottish grain and my Scottish constitution. This whole idea of wearing masks, in my opinion, has become a little excessive. I'm just going to leave it at that. But at the same time, as I think about that, as I think of how some parts of our country are as tight as a fiddle when it comes to rules and regulations, and other parts of the country are loose, and there's all kinds of freedom. And I think of the fact that freedom is being restricted in many circles, many parts of the country today. I realize that it is an opportunity for me to consider, what is God trying to say? What is He trying to communicate to me as a Christian living in the middle of a situation right here in the state of Maine where things have tightened up and where we feel the pressure of the government being upon us, and we realize that that's just not who we are, that's not our nature. Because we were made to be free. We were made to be a free people, and our Constitution guarantees that freedom. And then I realized that COVID-19 is something that nobody wants and nobody needs. And I realized that when it does strike, it is something that is that can take a person's life away. And I realize that is something we do not want to see. We've lost in the state of Maine about 152 lives over this entire pandemic, which is really not a bad number when it comes to other states. We are on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to that. But at the same time, many of us are a little bit irked when we're told what we can do and what we can't do. But God has been speaking to me about what my response needs to be in that. And how He has revealed Himself to me is the fact that I need to be more humble. Not to be a doormat and to do what I'm told, but to be humble when it comes to making sure that I do my part in not only protecting myself and my family, but also protecting the people around me. And I believe that that is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be doing what we can to protect people around us. And so we need a good dose of humility to do that, to realize that we are our brother's keeper. Whether we like it or not, God has called us to be our brother's keeper. He has called us to look after one another, to care for one another, to love one another. And so this morning, I want us to think about that. How can we exercise humility in the midst of COVID-19? I've heard so many people go way off the deep end, go to the extreme, and some of the comments that have been made on one end, and on the other end, I've heard them go to the extreme as well. So there's both sides, both ends. There's extremism on every side. And I'm always one who believes in common sense. I'm always one who believes in doing the right thing. And so we all need to do the right thing by protecting each other. And we do need to do the right thing to be humble toward God and to be humble towards one another. I don't have all the answers, and neither do you. And for that, I'm thankful. I don't have all the answers. And I never had all the answers, and I will never have all the answers. But I do know that there's a sense in which we need to humble ourselves, not like the Benedictine monks who saw themselves as lower than the least of humanity. They would climb in their caves, and they would hide there for months at a time, not coming out. And they realized that their kind of humility was a humility of just backing out of everything and becoming hidden from the world. And so I'm reminded of 2 Chronicles 7:14. We think of this particular verse when we think of the fact that we desire to have revival in our land. And you may know that verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then, what does God say? I will hear from heaven and will heal their land and will forgive their sin. But the first part of that verse is very telling. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That is where it needs to begin, right there. And for God to do anything measurable among us, or to bring revival across this land, or to do anything supernatural so that we would see it unfolding before our very eyes, humility has to be at the forefront. If my people who are called by my name. In the book of Micah, it says, what does God require of you? Well, what does God require of you? That's a good question. God requires that we walk humbly, that we love mercy, and we walk humbly before God. And so there's that component of it that I think is very significant for us to understand during these days of COVID. There are three things I want to point out this morning about this humility. And some of this might be old hat to you, I don't know. But much of it is just common sense. And the first thing I want to suggest to you today is that humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. Now, how does that fit into the COVID situation? Well, it has some significance that we think of ourselves less. and that we do desire to do whatever we can to protect each other from this virus. You see, the difference, simply put, humility says, I'm not at the center of the universe. I'm not at the center. My grandmother used to say this to me. She would say, don't you think you're the cat's meow? And, you know, the cat's meow, I don't know what the cat's meow is. But she used to say that a lot when she was trying to communicate the fact that she wanted us to be, to put things in perspective, in other words, and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. You see, humility is not about having a low self-esteem either. In fact, the paradox is that people with low self-esteem tend to be self-obsessed. And as they think about, and all they talk about is, what a terrible person I am. That's not really what humility is either. Woe is me. I'm so awful. I'm so unworthy. That's not really what humility is. Many times people with low self-esteem tend to think of themselves more than they think of anyone else. And when they do something for someone else, many times the motivation is not to bless the other person. Many times they're just doing it in order to get the other person to validate them, to give them approval. They're looking for a pat on the back, in other words. The difference is not that people with healthy self-esteem think so much more highly of themselves. It's that people with healthy self-esteem are not obsessed with themselves. You can be obsessed with yourself. Yes, even Christians can be obsessed with themselves. The world doesn't revolve around their feelings, and when they do something for you, it's not because they need your approval, it's because they want to bless you. That's the correct and that's the healthy way to think about it. That's the connection between humility and self-esteem. Humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means that you think of yourself less. And maybe you put others before yourself. You look at putting others before yourself. The enemy of humility is not self-esteem or self-confidence. The enemy of humility is self-obsession. So when you become so obsessed with yourself, that's bad. That's not good news. It means that you're at the center of the universe. And it means that you don't have a humble heart before God. The real point of the Christian life is not that you go around and say, I'm so unworthy all the time. Neither is it about you going around saying, I'm so holy and righteous and wonderful and pure and there's no one else like me. It's that you get yourself out of the mix and you start thinking of other people. Paul said this about Jesus. And it's a very important verse of scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Who being in the very nature God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but humbling himself, taking the nature of a servant, he became obedient, even unto death. He made himself nothing. That's the way Jesus looked at it. That's what he did. In other words, Jesus didn't go around demanding his rights like a lot of us are. And we are obsessed with rights. We have rights for this and rights for that. And everybody's demanding equal rights. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes before God, none of us have any rights. We have privilege. God has blessed us. He has given us his heartbeat when we turn our hearts to him. And so we have no right to say that we have rights when God is the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, we say that, we ask the question, well, do you know who I am? You know, I'm bigger than you, I'm mightier than you, I'm better than you. Do you know who you're dealing with? I mean, my wife, every once in a while, when I get a little bit on the leash, she calls me King Tut. And she brings me back down to earth. And so, you know, we need to set this straight. And we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, he says these words, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't think of yourself as being a King Tut. Or don't think of yourself as being the cat's meow. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment. That's how you're to look at yourself. In other words, don't think of yourself like that. Don't think too little of yourself. Instead, follow the example of Jesus. If you want to know how to be humble, study the life of Jesus. Jesus was humble in every way. Think of the way he did it. Think of yourself less. Think of others more. That's the first step to becoming humble. The second thing is this. Humility doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you know where the power comes from. Doesn't mean that you're weak. A lot of people get this wrong. They think, if I'm going to humble myself, okay, I'm going to expose my weakness. I'm going to expose my insecurities. And I'm going to expose just how much of a fool I am before other people. And I don't want to do that. But do you know what? You don't have to convince others that you're humble. It's not their call. It's God's call. The Bible says this in James chapter 4, verse 10, this text that we read. It says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay? He's going to be the one that will lift you up. He's the one that's going to pick you up. He's the one that's going to give you a self-confidence that's pleasing to him. He's the one that will give you self-esteem, the appropriate amount of self-esteem that will honor him and others. And it says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And that phrase, due time, means doesn't mean your time. It means his time. In due time, at the appropriate time. So he says, humble yourselves, or yourself, under God's mighty hand. Thomas More was a noted statesman during the time of the Renaissance and a leading opponent of the Reformation movement. And this is what one scholar said about him. It says, and I quote, he worked hard to seem humble, but he always wanted to be somebody. And he always tried to make the public image that high position had been thrust on him, only because great and wise men insisted his talents were too large to be hidden. Few people have enjoyed greater success in advertising their humility. An interesting statement. You don't have to convince anybody that you're humble. It's something that flows automatically. It flows from your spirit. It flows from who you are before God. You just need to be humble. Humility, in other words, is not an act. It's not something you do. Humility is not an act. It is a state of being. It is who you are as to how God created you to be. It's a state of being. You could say a state of mind, a state of personality. It is who you are. It is who God created you to be, or who God is creating you to be right now. Some of us need a good dose of humility. And to do that, many times, we need to be knocked down a peg or two. Come off of our loft and be brought into reality as to what this world is really like. So it's not an act, it's a state of being. It means that you know where the power comes from in your life. And the power in my life comes not from myself. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God who lives in me. And as Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where it comes from. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the key phrase here is through Christ. It's not through yourself. It's not through who you are. It's through Christ. It's through him alone. That's where the power is. That's where our significance is. That's where our humility comes from. Being humble doesn't mean that you're weak. Doesn't mean that at all. In fact, just the opposite. Because he has promised that in due time, he will exalt you. You may not get any of the world's praise. You may not get a whole lot of pats on the back from other people. But in due time, what's most important of all for a believer is that he will exalt you. That your humility means that you know where the power is coming from. You know where it exists. And here's the third thing I want you to see this morning. And that is that humility doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It means that you're a servant leader. I once thought that for me to be humble meant to be, that I could let people walk all over me. I could be a doormat. That's not what humility is. Humility does not mean that you're a doormat. It means that you have the heart of a servant. And I believe that is very important during these days of COVID. Because I do believe that we are our brother's keeper. I do believe that we are here to serve one another. We are here to look out for one another. We're here to protect one another. And some make the mistake of thinking that humble people are victims, that they let others walk all over them, that they don't stand up for themselves. Well, this has to do, I suppose, more so with people equating humility with humiliation. Equating humility with weakness. And it's neither of those two. It has nothing to do with humiliation. It has nothing to do with weakness. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, it says, I lay down my life, Jesus says. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And so humility comes from a position of strength, not weakness. Not weakness. It comes from a position of control, not victimization. It has nothing to do with that. It comes from a position of discernment, not negativity. I wrote that word down here and I still have a hard job pronouncing it. It really means that we're not to be doormats. We're to be servants. For such a time as this, God has called us to be servants one of another. And I believe that this is a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to show its true colors, to show its true character as to how we are to be God's servants in a world that is so messed up right now, in a world that is so full of strife. You see, humble people aren't weak. They're strong. And here's the biggest difference about them. The humble not only knows where the power is from, a humble person knows who that power is for. That power is for each and every one of us here today. And it's available to each and every one of us as we call upon the Lord. Humble people exist to serve others. To serve others. No matter what it might be. To give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name is an amazing example of servanthood. You know, to look after our neighbors. In wintertime, help shovel them out. Deliver groceries to the elderly. To help people that can't help themselves. They may be physically unable to. To help people who are destitute. To help people who are victimized. It means being a servant. Being a servant. Every once in a while I drive into Portland to Preble Street and I see all the homeless people along the side of the street. And I see the stained faces, the dejected faces. I see the people who have been cast out from their homes, from their jobs, from society. They're outcast in so many different ways. Much of it is certainly of their own doing. Those people who have been victimized by alcoholism or drugs or drug addicts, and they're out pushing drugs and doing whatever they can to fix their habit. But I look at those people, and I look at their faces, and I see, you know, God could really get a hold of those people. If the Church of Jesus Christ, if God's people would just share an exorbitant amount of love with them, be able to love them into the kingdom. Humble people exist to serve others. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it's why Paul said, "You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." In love. We're to serve one another in love here in this church family. We're to do that. We're to do it in humility. So God wants to put his power at work in our lives as we humble ourselves. What does the Lord require of you? But to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's why you're here. You're here to be a blessing to others. I'm here to be a blessing to others. We're here to be a blessing to one another. We're here to be a blessing to this community. We're here to let our lights shine that we might glorify the Father. We're here to build one another up. That's why we're here. And no, at no other time has this been so necessary as it is right now during these days of COVID-19. No other time has it been so necessary for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and be counted and to take a stand and to be who it is supposed to be salt. To be light in the midst of darkness. So you can't do it if you're weak and helpless. You can only do it if you're walking in the power of God. If you're walking in His strength. And that's what humility does. You know about the power of God. You experience it in your life. And you know who it's for. It's not for yourself. It's for others. For building up the kingdom. It's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about relaying and communicating the message of Jesus Christ into a world that is so desperately in need. More than ever, we need to live lives of humility. Genuine humility. Not fake humility. But genuine humility. I don't like wearing masks either. And we get all upset over that. But what does the Lord require of you? He requires you to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. If we do that, God will put everything together. And it'll work the way He designs it to work. And it'll come out the right way. And let me tell you something. God's plan is better than my plan. God's plan is better than your plan. But this is His plan. Everything has everything to do with knowing who you are in Christ. That's what humility is. It has everything to do with knowing who you are in Christ and knowing what you've been called to do. Humility can be summed up with the attitude, I am not an important person, but I have an important job to do. I'm nothing special, but God wants to use me in a special way to bless other people. I won't let anything stand in the way of His purpose for my life, because the people I serve and the people I hang out with and the people that are in my life are worth it every single step of the way. And so let me just conclude by saying that humble people don't think less of themselves. They just think of themselves less. And they think more of others. Humble people aren't weak and helpless. They just know where the power comes from. They know who the power is for. And finally, humble people serve others from a position of strength and not a position of weakness, because they know that I'm not important, but I have an important job to do. And that's what God has called us to do. You know, I pray that God would give us all that spirit of humility, that we might serve one another and put God first. And sum it up with that word joy. Jesus, others, and you. And when we do that, I believe that God blesses that formula. And it's a formula for blessing. It's a formula for empowerment. It's a formula for how God wants to make things great and wonderful in this world. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. And I pray for humility in my own life. Lord, You know that I need to be humbled every single day. And I pray for humility with each and every one of us here, that we might humble ourselves before You, that we might walk with You and talk with You, and that the world around us might see and know that we have been with Jesus, that He is the one who is able to transform, and He is the one that is able to bless, and He is the one who is able to help us in this time of great peril across our land. So, Lord, I pray that Your people will humble themselves and pray. And, Lord, that we would see You do the rest. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.